Welcome to another edition of The Leftovers. This is the podcast after the show where I just keep talking because, well, nothing will stop me from speaking my mind. How dare you even insist that I shut up? Don't you know what it is I do for a living? Ironically, I'm telling Reliant K, shut up. I'm talking for a living now. So there were quite a few stories that I didn't get a chance to cover on the show today, not for lack of trying or for lack of interest, but I just ran out of time. And there was a story out of Fox about the California Highway Patrol telling the anti-Israel, anti-Semitic protesters, the ones who are blocking roads, blocking bridges, creating traffic nightmares, that, hey, if you do this, we're not tolerating it, period. And they point to the fact that they arrested 38 people yesterday. I'm recording this on Tuesday. So yesterday during the anti-Semitic protests, we talked a little bit about that on the show when it was happening. And in that case, you had the protesters, they decided to attach themselves to 55-gallon drums that were filled with concrete to make it more difficult for police to move them. Others, like in, I believe, Chicago, used the sleeping dragon method, which is where you put your hands that are handcuffed to someone else through a PVC pipe. So the handcuffing is behind the pipe. Again, making it difficult for cops to remove you. Although I did see some videos based out of, I think it was Tampa. It was definitely Florida. Might have been Fort Lauderdale, where cops just carried all of them like in one big swoop. It was actually pretty great. It was really great. Now, officials say the protesters are facing numerous charges, including unlawful assembly, resisting, and delaying officers and false imprisonment. The CHP put in a statement, attempts to block or shut down a freeway or state highway to protest is unlawful, dangerous, and prevents motorists from safely reaching their destinations. Now, it's great to see the charges. What happens in a week? What happens in a month? Do these get downgraded? Do these people who I'm willing to bet have a criminal history, do they suffer any consequences, or does it end up becoming a slap on the wrist and like a $500 fine? I mean, a lot of these people are privileged kids coming from wealthy families. So $500 isn't really going to move them all that much to serve as a disincentive, at least. You know, we still have not had any charges here in Washington State for the January 6th I-5 protest. None. The King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, they have the documents, they have the report, but they haven't yet filed. Now, it was interesting. I got an email today from the spokesperson for King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, an email that he sent to all the members of the media just with a protest Q&A. And this is because Port of Seattle Police, who are the investigating police agency from what happened yesterday in front of SeaTac, are obviously going through the evidence that they have to presumably recommend charges specifically to the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office. Now, in this case, they might end up going not to the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, but SeaTac Municipal Court, because these would be misdemeanors and gross misdemeanor cases, presumably. Now, obviously, it could turn into felonies if anyone got violent. I hadn't seen any of that. But you had 46 people locally getting arrested for blocking the terminal, the passenger drop-off areas. 30 of them ended up getting booked into the South Correctional Entity. 16 were booked into the King County Jail, according to the Port of Seattle Police. I'm willing to bet they were all almost immediately released. But hey, maybe not. They say, what were the arrests for? You say, that's a question for the investigating police agencies about the individual arrests. The cases have not been referred to the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office. Will they? Well, according to the Port of Seattle, they're pushing them towards the SeaTac Municipal Court. All of them. And that is normal, by the way. That's not weird. It's normal. But again, it indicates misdemeanor charges once we actually officially get them. And misdemeanor charges don't really come with any meaningful consequences. Sorry, that's the truth. They're not being referred to as felony crimes. And according to this Q&A email, because they're saying, why weren't these referred as felony crimes? Saying, police made the referral decisions based on admissible evidence and state law. For these specific cases, check with the investigating police agency, blah, 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 blah. The likely charges, if they actually go through with it, are criminal trespass in the second degree, failure to disperse, disorderly conduct, and obstruction. Now, again, you have to pay attention as to whether or not they get plea deals, pleading to something even less serious than a misdemeanor crime. Now, at the end of the day, this is going to continue to happen and happen and happen and happen unless you actually get some consequences. And without those consequences, they're just going to continue to do this. And we could see the script. It's almost fascinating in a way. I've got an editorial, I think tomorrow, maybe the next day, on foxnews.com about who these protesters actually are, because what we're seeing unfold is the same script that unfolded during the Black Lives Matter movement. It started as this movement that started to grow, and it wasn't violent, although they were celebrating violence against Jews in this case, but back with BLM, there were peaceful marches and rallies, no doubt about that. And as the movement grew, you had these specialty activists, is kind of what I call them, who will join a cause. They agree with it. Their progressive viewpoints, you know, support whatever the big issue is. But the intent of getting involved is to take ownership of it and then use it for their ultimate political agenda, which is destroying capitalism. And I talk about this in the editorial, but I mentioned a little bit about this yesterday. It's called the A15 Action Group. And they, on their website, are crystal clear about what their intent is, which is to dismantle capitalism. That's what they want to do. They want to destroy capitalism. And you do that by harming our economy. That's why they did it in front of airports, in front of, massive avenues to economic growth, like just getting to work from Oakland to San Francisco on the Golden Gate Bridge, those kinds of things. That's why they chose those spots. They went into the port of Seattle for a reason. They believe that it's going to hurt the economy. Now, one day of this doesn't obviously hurt the economy, not in the grand scheme of things. It hurts individuals, but it doesn't hurt the economy. You do this many, 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 many times, it hurts the economy. It hurts capitalism. That is what they're after here. And of course, they're disgusted by Israel and Jews because Israel is very much a bastion of capitalism in a region that doesn't have a whole lot of it. That's the reality. And so they see Israel as especially devious for that exact reason. Meanwhile, a Muslim USC valedictorian ended up getting barred from giving her graduation ceremony speech because she has a whole bunch of anti-Semitic posts on social media. Now, she, of course, apparently is screaming, this is anti-Muslim. It's not, unless you're telling me all Muslims hate Jews. But when you go on and look at some of her tweets, it's just pretty disturbing. Really disturbing. Now, some people are saying that this is a sort of First Amendment issue. It is not. This is not a First Amendment issue. Now, the valedictorian's name is Asna Tabassum. And again, this is University of Southern California. Her minor is, quote, resistance to genocide. I mean, really? Seriously? Oh, okay. She liked posts from, according to the report, posts from something called Trojans for Palestine. She called for the, quote unquote, complete abolition of Israel. Now, if someone is calling for the complete abolition of Israel, that's called a genocide. And kudos to USC for taking this seriously. Seriously. She had a post on social media, according to the Daily Mail, that, quote, takes a swinging bat at over 10% of the USC student population and mudslingings by calling Zionists, quote unquote, racist settlers. Now, obviously, she's taken down, as far as I can tell, her social media, because it started to get picked up by like the Daily Mail and Fox News and others. But the idea that this is being turned into something that's anti-Muslim is absolutely ludicrous, but that's precisely what CARE does. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. Their director from L.A., Hussam Ayyalosh, said, USC cannot hide its cowardly decision behind a disingenuous concern for security. Asna is an incredibly accomplished student whose academic and extracurricular accomplishments made her the ideal and historic recipient of this year's valedictorian's honor. The university can, should, and must ensure a safe environment for graduation rather than taking the unprecedented step of canceling a valedictorian speech. Yeah, well, if you didn't hold such anti-Semitic views, this would not have happened. It's really that simple. Remember, this is the school that locally we talked about a few months ago because Mayor Angela Burney's daughter, she's the mayor of Redmond, she was filmed tearing down posters of hostages and sort of giggling and laughing about it and making comments that made it seem like she was blaming Israel for all of this, which is a, you know, a talking point coming from the virulent left. Period. End of story. USC is 100% in the right. 100% in the right. And I'm glad that they're doing this. It is selfish of anyone to even want her to be there because she giving that speech means it's going to be about her. It's going to be political. Now, I don't know who's going to speak in place of her. And there's obviously the possibility that whomever is chosen goes off script and starts talking specifically about what happened to the co-valedictorian and maybe even takes exactly the same position that she was going to likely take when she gave that speech. I don't know. I certainly hope not because, again, that's incredibly selfish. But these are people who are all incredibly selfish. And yes, I said all of them. I am painting a broad brush because the folks who are okay with blocking traffic, forcing people out of cars to walk with their luggage to the airport just so that they might catch their flight, which now it's in jeopardy, you're selfish. If you go in the morning during the commute and you block the Golden Gate Bridge, blocking both directions, you're selfish. And you're only doing this for yourself. These are narcissists. At the end of the day, they suffer from severe narcissism. They might believe what it is they believe, but the reason they're doing it the way that they're doing it, their activism, is because it gives them attention and it makes them feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves, a larger movement that gives their lonely, boring, meaningless lives so far some kind of meaning. They feel trapped in that job as a part-time barista because, frankly, they haven't put any effort towards bettering themselves and getting a better education and more skills. They just like the idea that they can call themselves a victim of a capitalist and oppressive society. And let's be honest, they live in their mother-in-law unit anyway that their parents own in Kirkland or Edmonds. So they're not even worried about having to pay rent at this point. Although they will complain about the rent being too high, ironically.
You know, I'd live on my own if I could. I just can't. Can't afford it.
Well, why are you only a part-time barista?
Well, it's hard to do activism when you're working full-time.
Okay, well then, that's on you. Don't care. But that's the truth here. So we'll continue to keep an eye on all of this stuff. I find it fascinating. And again, you know, as a Jew, I obviously have some skin in the game here. I'm not Israeli, but I am a Jew. And you're a Jew by blood. It's an important piece of all of this. And so Israel is, in fact, the Jewish homeland. So of course I'm going to fight for it. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you tomorrow.